Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time,
God is good. Each and every Sunday that I stand before you, I say that saying. But I say it because it is so true. And it's good how that God is good. Because without His goodness, we could not exist. Without His goodness, we would not even be here. God is good. And that's what we're going to talk about again today. We're going to talk about how good is God. And you may recall me doing this not too long ago because I firmly believe that we need reminders of why we're here and why we come here and just who we come here for, and that is for God. Because we want to save our souls. And God is the way to the soul-saving remedy that we need. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again because you are in the blessing business and you saw fit to give us our blessings once again this morning. You not only woke us up, but you provided a means for us to get up. You provided for us to come out from our house unto your house, oh Lord. We're so very thankful for that. We're so thankful to see each and every person that's here in this auditorium this morning. And we are praying for those that may be on their way that they get here safe and secure. Father, we're praying for those who might be traveling today. We just pray that you give them safe passage, that they may be able to be back with us again at another appointed time. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for our freedom that we have in this country, that we can serve thee in spirit and in truth without any danger of being hurt, harm, or endangered. Father, we thank you for our audience this morning. We thank you for the leaders in this congregation. We thank you for their families. We thank you for the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far and their families as well. We thank you for all the families that are represented here today. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to stand before the congregation once again and spread the word of God. We thank you, O Lord, and I realize today that there are many who are not with us because of their ill, and we just pray that you heal them, O Heavenly Father, that they may be able to be with us real soon. We thank you, Father, and we pray for the politicians of this world. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that their laws and regulations not infringe upon our rights to serve thee. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in the armed forces of this country, especially this country. We pray for their securing us and helping to keep us safe. Father, thank you, and we pray that their homecoming may be celebrated real soon. Father, we thank you for all you do for us. We thank you for the parents who are raising their children, especially those who are raising them up in the sight of the Lord, in the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you so very much for allowing us to just be here on this day. For many started this life the same time that we did, but they're not here with us anymore, and we're just thankful that we're still here, and we pray for those who have lost loved ones this day. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that you bless those families and strengthen those families. And Father, we need you to walk our streets down here with us, O Heavenly Father. Look down upon our streets and bless them that they may be safe, because our young folks are leaving here at an enormous pace, O Lord. Father, we thank you. We pray for all those who are trying to uphold the bloodstained banner of Christ. We just pray and say thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that Jesus came to this earth to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. We're so grateful to him because this paved the way to the church this morning. Thank you, Father, for everything you do for us. Now, my Heavenly Father, bless these services that we are about to enter into, and go with us and watch over and keep us. In Jesus' name, I do pray and ask it all. Let us all say amen. The scripture was read for your hearing from the 23rd Psalms. Most Bible students are aware of the 23rd Psalms, so we'll reread it as we move into this portion of the service. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank God for those words from his word. God is good. But how many of us really understand just how good God really is to us? In that familiar text that most Bible readers have been pointed out to throughout their lives, a picture of a shepherd caring for his sheep, it presents to us a closer look at how good God is to us. We are the sheep and he is our shepherd. We should give all glory to God and not to the sheep. Let's compare a few things about sheep. Sheep are weak, unable to defend themselves against wild animals in trouble. We cannot stand as a match against Satan, so we need the shepherd. Sheep have no abilities. They cannot find the way if they become lost or stray. We cannot find our way without Jesus. Finally, sheep get dirty and get burrs as they and they cannot cleanse themselves. That's where the shepherd comes in. He cleanses them up. Jesus, through baptism, cleans us up. He washes away our sins and makes us clean. Isn't God good, church? He supplies. He's good enough to supply our needs. Sometimes he supplies us by helping us to supply for ourselves. He gives us jobs to work in order to get paid to buy whatever we need. David wrote in the 23rd Psalms in verse number 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When we become hungry and want to eat, we sometimes want to eat beyond our means. We want to eat filet mignon, but all we can afford is bacon. Well, thank God for the bacon. Eat it and get full, and you'll get just as full as you may not like the taste. It may not taste the same, but it might be a little bit different than a filet mignon. But nevertheless, you won't suffer from missed meal cramps. In verse number 5 of our text, I want you to notice verse 5, if you will. Verse number 5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." What the writer says is when the Lord prepares your table, he will give us more than enough. God knows how to fix a table, even in the face of troubles and enemies. He also supplies our spiritual needs. He gives us the scripture to learn of his word and his goodness. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And so you might ask the question, why did you give it to us, O Lord? That the man of God might be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He looked over a long time ago, he looked over yesterday and saw tomorrow before we even got here. And he supplied us thus through his Son, the church of Christ. Christ said he would build it, and that's what he did. Ain't God good, church? He gave us prayer in order to call upon Him. Just pray to Him for everything, according to Philippians 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, don't get caught up with stuff that goes on in this life. Go to God with whatever it may be, because I know my God can fix it. When your world seems to be crumbling, give it to the Lord. Don't allow it to burden your spirit. Turn it over to Him, because I know He can handle it. Because God is good all the time. He gives us rest and restoration. He's good enough to give us rest and restoration. We shall find rest and refreshment through the will and the word of God. In verse number 2 of the text, the Bible says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What a thought this conjures up. Can you imagine being able to rest and relax beside the still waters? To lay beside still waters. This tells me He leads us in the right path. This lets us know that God has and is involved in the relationship between us and Him. Not only is God good, He is also dependable. Somebody might say, well, how do we know this? Well, take a look at John chapter 10 and verse number 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. He proves He cares about us even more in verse number 15. He said, and I lay down my life for my sheep. In our text of the third verse of Psalms 23, watch what the Bible says. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Here we find the restoration part. He restored my soul. Let's face it, church. Our souls may become weary, but God can restore it if we ask Him. He will put us on the path of righteousness. For some, the only reason that they can't find the path of righteousness is because they fail to allow God to lead them. There's something we need to know about God and this one thing that we can count on. In Psalms number 100 and verse number 3, the Bible says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, didn't He say He was the good shepherd? And what does a shepherd do? A shepherd leads the sheep. Isn't that right, church? You need to let somebody know that God is good. You need to let somebody know that the God we serve is good all the time, not just some of the time. And He takes care of His sheep. God is always good to us. But some of us just won't get out of the way and let God be good. We try to block God sometimes, I believe. I believe we try to take over God's job for Him. Oh, I can do that. If you could do it, why didn't you do it? And you wouldn't have the troubles that you sometimes have. God is good to us, for us, and to us. He has prepared a place for us. The text speaks of how goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life in verse number 6. Note, if you will, how that in verses number 1 through 4 of the text, the writer speaks of walking with the shepherd. But in verses number 5 and 6, he shifted to dwelling with the Lord. This should present to us a plan of future references. This should help us to realize that once this earthly journey is over, and make no mistake about it, this journey is going to come to an end one day. But when this earthly journey is over, there's a place of eternal life. There's a place that is real, that's been prepared for us. His answer is yes, He can prepare a place. in John 14, chapter verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also." Those two verses show the reality of heaven existence. Just what will God do for us? Well, in Revelation 21 and verse number 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Isn't that good of God, church? God is good to us. God is all right with us. He should be all right with you as well. Now, I know some of you today are concerned about the Super Bowl. Isn't that right? I know the Super Bowl doesn't come on till after 5 o'clock, so I got a few minutes. Thank you, Brother Hill. I know that God is all right, and I'll already tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl. The team that gets the most points, so you don't have to look at it. Just wait for the news tonight, and they'll give you the score. But you know something about the Super Bowl? I'll compare that with, and then put it in perspective for you here. The Super Bowl requires that there be a quarterback who throws the ball to someone else. And when he throws the ball, he expects someone else to be there to catch the ball. And if you're not there when he throws the ball, you guess what? You're going to miss it. And that's just like with us as Christians. If we're not where God's word want us to be, we might miss out on a blessing. Isn't that all right, church? I'll tell you something this morning. Just what will God do for us? I already told you. When he said there'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. You know what life would be like without pain? Wouldn't that be wonderful if we never had any pain in our life? And I'm not talking about the kind of pain that you take a Tylenol for. I'm talking about pain and troubles of this life. If you got kids, you probably know what I'm talking about. If you got a spouse, you might know what I'm talking about as well. If you got a job, you probably know what I'm talking about. Because the job will give you headaches in a minute. Isn't that right, church? I worked on a job and I'd get headaches from it, but you know what? I knew I needed that job, so I stayed with that job. When you are a parent, you got to raise your kids and you got to stay with them kids. You can't just walk off and leave them. I know what some people like to say, "I'm going to just walk off from you all someday." But you can't do that. Ain't God good? There's none like him. He protects and cares for us in all manners. I want you to note something here. He was the light before the children of Israel in Exodus 13 and verse 21. He sends his angels around us in Psalms 34 and 7. He is with us, for he is our God, according to Isaiah 41 and 10. He lives in us because he gave himself for us in Galatians 2 and verse number 20. God is good. Let us believe in him and continue to serve him, that one day we might receive his crown of life. I know some of you are waiting this morning to get finish with church so you can get out of here, as I said before, because you want to go watch the Super Bowl. Well, I'm going to tell you something else about the Super Bowl. I heard in the sports segment this morning that one player is going to play with a broken leg. He's got a broken leg, but he's going to play in the football game, but with two good legs. I wonder if he made his way to church. But I tell you something, God is all right this morning. God is good. And when we go back to the text, Look what verse number 6 says again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know what forever, how long forever is? Forever is without ending. Forever means that there'll be no ending. There's already been a beginning, but no ending. Forever and ever. But I'm going to go just back up. I'm going to have to read through the whole thing to know where I want to be at. But I'll be there in a minute. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. This is where I want to be for his name's sake, because his name's sake means righteousness to us. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And watch this part. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Do you know what it means to have a cup that runneth over? That means it's spilling out and the cup is not holding it. We can't count all the blessings that God give us. If we just look out and be on the lookout for God's goodness, we'll see our cups spilling over. Isn't that right, church? Ain't God good? I know he is good. And as I bring this message to an end right now, I'd just like to say just one thing, and that is that God is good. All the time, and all the time, God is good. Now, I use the 23rd Psalm because I know that most of you are familiar with the 23rd Psalm. I learned the 23rd Psalm when I was just about this high, and my mama and my grandmama used to talk to me about the 23rd Psalm. Of course, I didn't know what they were talking about back then, but I know today how good God is. And the 23rd Psalm puts it in perspective for all of us. Ain't God good, church? God is good. All the time, and all the time, God is good. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you may have a headache, but you ask God to remove that headache, and if he does decide to remove it from you, you get up and that head is no longer hurting, you ought to say, thank the Lord. That's something simple, but you ought to say thank God for everything. When you sit down to your plate of food, you ought to say thank God for this food. Even if it's nothing but a slice of toasted bread, say thank God for this slice of toasted bread. If it's more than the toasted bread, you ought to say thank you, Lord, just the same. Yes, isn't God good, church? God is good. And you ought to say thank God for the church house. Yes, sir. Because the church house, Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. Yes. Didn't he build a church? Yes, sir. He built his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't care how bad Satan may be, he can't prevail against God's church. Isn't that right, church? God is good. And I just want to say to you this morning, that if you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you are a member, and sometimes folk don't understand it, but even though you're a member of the church, you can still go astray. Sometimes the world pulls on you a little harder than when you are a member. It all the time, Satan pulls on you a little harder because you are a member of the church. Because he knows he doesn't have you anymore. Mm-hmm. He knows that he wants to try to get you back.
Yes, sir.
But those that say, well, Satan, don't bother me. Well, guess why?
He already got you.
That's why he doesn't bother you. So when somebody tells you, the devil doesn't bother me, you tell them why. You tell them, you let them know that he already has you, so he doesn't bother you anymore. And I'm bringing this to a close now. I'm going to let you get home. But God is good.
Yes, sir.
All the time. And all the time, God is good.
Yeah, we need to know that.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Because he is so good to us. And you may not think that God is good, but what made you get up this morning? What made you have clothes to wear? What made you have food to eat? And you say to yourself, well, I work on a job and I got my money and I got my check. When I got paid and got a check, and that's how come I got clothes. Well, what do you think the clothes and the money came from? God.
Good point, preacher.
God made that all possible. Now, God didn't come down here and necessarily send you to ABC Company to get the job, but he provided means for you to get the job.
Mm-hmm.
When you sit up and you be interviewing with these people sometime, they ask you questions and things, and sometimes you don't know how to answer, but you try to answer the way you think they want you to answer. But you know something? If that job is for you, God is going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
If God be for you,
who can be against you?
Who then can be against you? But if you need the church this morning, the church is available here for you. The Lord is available to you. And you just come by, as I said, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you've already made those steps and you need to start over again, go to God, ask him to forgive you, and come to the church, ask the church to pray with and for you, that you may gather strength. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 834.